o'clock. And if there are people that you might know that sometimes come, please tell them it shouldn't be. Hello, let's learn. We learned some chassidus tonight. Not that we ever learn anything other than that, but sometimes I'm malbish it in different ways. But tonight I'm just completely uncensored. We need to come in with some chizik into this time. Last week we were talking about the earth, the song of the earth that's been waiting for so many years to be sung. And for a brief moment, the earth was able to open its mouth and call out the truth of Hashem, the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, as Korach and his followers descended into the earth. But we said last week that the real song is waiting for Mashiach, for the end of time. Tonight we're going to talk about the different song. And this too is connected to all the discussions that we've been having for the last 6 weeks or so. We're going to talk about the song of the well, the song of Miriam's well, the Shiras HaBe'er, the song of water. So the Torah says, we read it this past Shabbos, Oz Yoshi Yisrael Sashira Hazos Ali Be'er Enula. Then the Jewish people sang this song, Arise well, rise up, the waters of the well to rise, sing to it. So there's a Medrash Chachamim, it's brought down in the Torah Shleima, a Medrash Chachamim, the Medrash makes a comparison between the Shiras Hayam, the song of the sea, the splitting of the sea, that the Jewish people sang when we crossed through the sea, and the song of the Be'er of the well. Because there's a very obvious difference between the two. So listen to this Chazal. Shiras Hayam Ksiv. By the song of the splitting of the sea, it is written, Oz Yosher Moshe Uvnei Yisrael, Es Hashira Hazos. That Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people sang this song. The Kan, but over here, by the song of the well, Oz Yosher Yisrael. The Torah says that the Jewish people sang the song. It doesn't say, Oz Yosher Moshe Uvnei Yisrael. It says that Oz Yoshi Yisrael, that the Jewish people sang the song. So the Chachamim say, Moshe Latinoik Keshehu Katan Kairi Achre HaSeifer. This can be compared to a child. A child, when he's being taught, he reads after the Rebbe. The Rebbe says something and the child repeats. Mekeven Shiniz Gadol. Once the child grows up, Kairi Bifnei Atzmo, he's able to read on his own. Kach Kishoho Yisrael Kitanim, when the Jewish people were children, when the Jewish people had just started their journey, when they were young, by the splitting of the sea. Hikru lefneihem Moshe es Hashira. Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach them the song, like a Rebbe teaching the children. Moshe Rabbeinu said the Shira, and the Jewish people repeated the Shira. Kevin shenes gadol achar aboim shana. Once the Jewish people grew up, 40 years had passed, and the Jewish people had now grown older. Shira 40 years had passed. And the time had arrived to sing the song of the waters of the well. But now the Jewish people had grown up, and they were able to sing it on their own. They didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't need the Rebbe to tell them the song. They didn't have to repeat after the Rebbe. They knew the song, they were able to sing without the Rebbe telling them the words. That's what the Chachomim say in the Medrash. So the Medrash is telling us that the difference between the ocean and the well, between Yam Suf and the Be'er, the difference is between little children and adults. That the song of the ocean, even though you all know that Shvi Shel Pesach, the seventh day of Pesach, and the Shiras Hayom, and the song of the sea, is really one of the most exalted moments in our history, if not the most exalted moment, next to Kabbalah Satara, Matan Torah. Nevertheless, the Chachamim tell us that when compared to the song of the well, the song of the sea was for children. The song of the well, grown-ups. So let's understand. The whole Sefer Shir Hashirim, in the book of Song of Songs, the most beautiful praises are heaped upon the Jewish people. Hashem refers to us in such loving ways. We speak about Him in equally loving ways. So there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, in the fourth parak. Now Hashem has an interesting way of referring to us. The pasuk says, Ma'ayan ganim be'er ma'im chayim, nozlim min levanon. Ma'ayan ganim, purified in a garden spring. Hashem speaks about us in such a way. Purified in a garden spring. Be'er ma'im chayim, a well of living waters. Waters that are alive. V'nozlim min levanon, and flowing down from Lebanon. So Hashem calls us His Be'er Mayim Chayim, His well, His spring of living waters. So if Hashem refers to us in such a way, and you feel the love in this pasuk, and Hashem's admiration for us in this pasuk, so we have to try to understand, what does it mean? And are we living up to Hashem's expectations? Is each one of us a Be'er Mayim Chayim? A well of living waters. But in order to understand the song of the well, we have to come to understand the meaning of the Ma'ayan Ganim Be'er Mayim Chayim, of the, what's the meaning of living waters? So the Svarim HaKadoshim teach us that in this world itself, there are two basic types of water. There are two types of water. In this world, there are waters that are called Mayim Elyonim, waters that descend from above. Not to be confused with the term Mayim Elyonim that is used for the splitting of the waters that took place on the second day of creation, where there are waters in the supernal state, in the spiritual state. But here in this world, there are waters that are called Mayim Elyonim. Waters that fall from a high place. Waters that come from above. Those are waters that we see. Rivers and lakes, oceans. Those are Mayim Elyonim. Waters that fall from above. And then there are waters that are called in this world Mayim Tachtonim. Waters that rise from below. The Mayim HaTachtonim, the waters that rise from below, are the Be'eros, the wells, and the Mayonas, the springs of this world. where the waters rise from the Tahom, from the depths, which is the Hippuch, which is the opposite of all things in this world. As you know, that in nature itself, in the world itself, the movement of all life, the movement of all things, is from above to below. As the waters that descend from above to below that comprise the oceans and lakes and so on. That's the movement of all reality. But then you have waters, the waters of the Be'eros, of the wells, of the springs. And these waters rise against the current of all existence. These waters rise from below to above. And these waters alone, the Mayim HaTachtonim, these waters alone, are referred to as Mayim Chayim, as living waters. The waters that descend from above are not called Mayim Chayim. Only the waters that ascend from below, that rise from below, are called Mayim Chayim, living waters. And why are they called Mayim Chayim? Why are the waters that rise from below called Mayim Chayim? So the answer is that the waters from below are filled with such exuberance, with such vigor, such strength, such life, that the waters from below have the remarkable koach, the remarkable ability to shatter rocks and to break open the harsh surface of reality, to crack open the world, and to rise through all the dirt and through all the rocks, that the lower waters have the ability, the chiyus, the life. That's the chiyus of the Mayim Chayim. The chiyus of the Mayim Chayim, the aliveness, the liveliness. The chiyus of the Mayim Chayim that rise from below. It's because the Mayim of below, the lower waters, have the ability to move against the flow, to move against the current of all existence, and to break through the obstacles, the difficult and hard obstacles of the earth, and to burst and to explode into the world. And from where do these waters, from where do the waters of below derive their strength? From where do they receive their strength? So we're going to learn now a teaching of the Holy Rebbe, the Holy Tzaddik, Rabbi Dov Ber from Lubavitch, who's known as the Mittler Rebbe, Zchus Yegen Elein, the son of the Baal HaTanya. It's hard to explain. There are certain things that it's hard to explain. So please forgive me if I'm not yoytze with this. There's a term that's used very commonly in the yeshiva world, that's used very commonly among those who study Torah. And the word is, when you hear the word, it automatically brings excitement. The word is chiddush. Chiddush. In all the yeshivas, the bocher, the young man who's most envied, is the one who could say a chiddush. Chiddush, you all know, means in the word chadash, something new. A new concept, a new thought. Chiddush. And there are different levels of Chiddush. The great Rosh Hashivas in recent generations, in our times, that there were people like Reb Chaim Brisker, like the Rogatchover, people who themselves were Chiddushim and were an ever-growing wellspring of Chiddushim, of new thoughts. And then there are people who experience Chiddushim in the world of emotions, the world of davening. But the Mittel Rebbe explains, be'emes, truthfully, what's the nature of a Chiddush? What does it mean? What's a Chiddush? To translate it simply as a novel thought, an original thought, it's not enough. It wouldn't cause that much excitement. So what's be'emes? What's a Chiddush? So the Rebbe says, look, if you want to understand that, let's talk about the biggest Chiddush that's possible. The greatest Chiddush that's possible in reality. The greatest Chiddush that's possible is called Yesh Me'ayin. Yesh Me'ayin means when there was absolutely nothing, there was nothing, there was Ayin. And from that place of nothingness, where there wasn't anything in there, nothing could be imagined. That from the place of Ayin, of nothingness, there emerged Yesh, something. When we use the word Chai, alive, the biggest Chiddush that we can experience is the Chiddush of life itself. That there could be in this world, that there could be such a thing that two human beings can bring into the world, could draw from that world that's beyond our grasp, from that world of Ayin, from that world of nothingness, of concealment. And when the physical body is illuminated with the chiyus of the soul, is filled with the life, a living, breathing soul, and a child is born, a human being comes into the world, a human being with its own personality, thoughts, feelings, that's a chiddush. That's the greatest chiddush imaginable. Something that wasn't, from the world of Ayin. And then this transformation takes place that from the world of Ayin, there comes forth something entirely new. And whenever that's experienced on any level, it causes tremendous excitement. It causes tremendous excitement. As opposed to Yesh Me'yesh. Yesh Me'yesh, there's something, and one changes the form of something. A person, certainly beautiful, if a person's able to take a stone and to sculpt and to make it into something else, to give a different shape and form, that's certainly a great talent and it's very beautiful. But Yesh Me'ayin is a Chiddush. All of the sculptors and all the artists who have lived since the beginning of time, all the scientists, fooling around in their laboratories, who are honest will agree, Ein Sayar Kelokeinu, there's no artist like Hashem. Because only Hashem takes nothing, mamish from nothing. And from Ayin to bring forth Yesh. That's a Chiddush. Now here's the difference between the waters of the ocean, between the waters of the Red Sea and the oceans and rivers and lakes of the world, that which we call the Mayim Elyonim, the waters that descend from above, and the Mayim HaTachtonim, the waters that ascend from below, the waters of the Be'er, of the wells, of the springs. V'mayim hatachtonim, the waters that rise from below, they're alive. There's a chiddush. There's something new with the waters that rise from above. There's something new. And that freshness of the mehabeh, of the waters that come from below, that tastes a little bit of that world of yesh me'ayin, of something that comes from nothing. And the reason is that although, of course, it's true that all the waters of the world come from Hashem and that they all originated from above somehow, it's true. Nevertheless, the waters of the depths, the waters from below, were hidden, were concealed in a place that is the opposite of water, a place of ugliness, of darkness, of filth, of schmutz, of impurity. That the soft and sweet waters were contained, dafke, were concealed and hidden beneath the ugliness of all that is coarse and thick and earthly. And here's the chiddush of water. Just like the baby, just like a child who passes through the impurity of that place of birth, that the child emerges sweet and beautiful and real on a level of chiyus of life that couldn't be imagined before. So too it is with the waters that come from the depths, the mehabeiros, that one would never have dreamt, one would never have imagined, that it's davke, those waters that have the power, the energy, the life to overcome the obstacle of the earth, to overcome the obstacle of the dirt and of the earth and of the rocks, to overcome and to pass through all that opposes it, all that stands in its way. And not only does the water climb to the surface and make its way into this world, but davka, those waters are the waters that are most delicious, most refined, most pure, most bottled. Davka, those waters, whereas the waters of the oceans are salty, and even the waters of the lakes and rivers can't compare davka to the waters that, you would say the waters that come from above, they come from Shemayim, they come from the sweetest place, from the place of, from the holiest, the most exalted place in reality. From a place that's not touched by dirt, that's not touched by ugliness. And yet the advantage of the Mayim HaTachtonim, of the lower waters, that they alone are called Be'er Mayim Chayim, living waters, waters that are alive, is because this is a chiddush of Yesh Mayayin. When you come into contact with those living waters, you experience the chiddush of life. Because the chiddush, the novelty, that which is new and that which is fresh in life, is to the degree that something touches that world of yesh me'ayin, of something from nothing. Of course, only God can create something from absolute nothing. A human being, we can't even understand what that means. But in our world, when something wasn't, or something was in the place that is opposite of it, which stands opposed to it, and davka from that place the waters rise and become the sweetest, most refined, most purified, and most purifying. Ve'ezeh chodesh. That's something new. It's a chiddush. It's the chiddush. It's a taste of chiyus of life, of a baby being born, of something passing through a place that is davka against it and that contains ugliness and impurity, and it emerges alive and breathing and well and the most delicious and sweetest thing in reality. In order to understand this, we have to use a moshul to understand, because you know that the study of Torah is also a Be'er Mayim Chayim, especially the study of the Oral Torah. The Oral Torah is a Be'er Mayim Chayim, is referred to as a well of living waters. So there was once There was once one of the tzaddikim in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, who was referred to by his Rebbe, by Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was referred to as a Mayan HaMizgaber. Rabbi Elozer ben Aroch, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elozer ben Aroch was referred to by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a certain praise for each of his great students. And when he spoke about Rabbi Elozer ben Aroch, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai called him a Mayan HaMizgaber, a spring that was flowing stronger and stronger, a Mayan HaMizgaber. So what does it mean to be a Mayan HaMizgaber? So understand, every single person has within the self certain ideas, certain feelings that are not clear to oneself. There are certain ideas and certain emotions that you know that they're there. You know that they're there. You can sense their presence, like the waters rumbling beneath the surface of the earth. But that those ideas or those feelings are covered by layers and layers of coarse reality. Sometimes you'll hear a certain song, and for reasons that you can't explain, the song causes you to cry. And it wasn't something that you worked out or that you thought about. Sometimes you can be in a certain place and see something. Sometimes there could be a certain fragrance in the air. Sometimes a breeze can touch you a certain way. And you feel that within you there are emotions that are beginning to rise. And they begin to explode. And if you're a person that allows yourself, you might even start to cry. Without knowing why, you become like a bear. You become yourself like a bear. Because there are certain thoughts and certain feelings that they're sitting there. They're waiting to be redeemed. They're waiting to be released. Sometimes it takes a certain person to do that. Sometimes a certain song, a certain day, a certain smell, a certain sight. And what causes, when it comes to the world of ideas, let's talk about Torah. I mentioned when I spoke about this on Shabbos, that when I had the privilege to study by one of the great geniuses of this generation, one of the great, great goyim of the generation. And there must have been 150 fellows in the room. And everybody was trying to impress the Rebbe. I mean, those who had the nerve to speak up. So in the course of a shiur, the shiur would usually take 3 to 4 hours. In the course of the shiur, there would be 10, 15 fellows that would raise their hand with something to say. And this great man would look at the person, wouldn't really acknowledge the person by shaking his head or anything, but when he looked at you, it meant that he saw that you wanted to say something, and he would look at you, and that meant it was your time to speak. And invariably, what would happen 99.9% of the time is that the fellow would launch into a whole discussion of what he felt to be an insight into the Gemara, an insight into the sugya that we were studying, to what we were learning. And after he would talk for around 10, 15 minutes, pouring out his kishkes nebuch, all of his koiches putting into that thought, into that idea of learning, the usual response of this genius was, he would simply continue with the last sentence that he said. He would rarely even respond. He wouldn't say it's a good idea. He wouldn't say we'll talk about it. He would just continue with what he was learning. He wouldn't put the person down, but he wouldn't say a thing. He would just say, no, as I was saying, and he would go on. But then there were those rare occasions And I remember those conversations. There were those rare occasions when a young man stumbled upon something. Or he didn't stumble, he arrived at a certain place. And then you would see the Rebbe lean forward in his chair, and you would see a fire in his eyes. And then you know what would happen? He would start to put the guy down. He would start to fight. The greatest privilege in Shir was when the Rebbe would begin to argue with you. When he would start to argue, that challenge meant that you were someplace. That challenge meant that the Rebbe felt that there were waters of Chiddush that were there beneath the surface, and that the waters were struggling to rise through the debris. The debris was years and years of stupidity and ignorance. And that's the way the Rebbe used to speak and describe these things. Years and years of debris. But the Rebbe would sense that there's something true, there's something real. And then you know how the Rebbe would draw it out from the boy? By opposing it. If the Rebbe would have said, very good, fine, then it would have remained a partially discovered thought, a half of a chiddush, a little bit of something new. But it never would have changed the world, it never would have changed the boy. But what the Rebbe would do, this is what we do every year Pesach, with the whole yontiv of Pesach, is man, is shtana, we ask kashas, questions. We begin the Haggadah by saying, in the beginning our ancestors were worshippers of idols, how could that be? And now Hashem has brought us to Har Sinai, He's brought us close to Him, He's taken us as His people. You see, the way that the waters are transformed into living waters, the way that they're drawn up from the depths, is davka because of the dirt that stands in opposition. It's because of the kasha. It's because of the difficulties. It's because the Rebbe would challenge the bocha, the boy, to overcome the interference of the question. When the Rebbe would sense that the boy was coming onto something, and because he was a master teacher, he didn't just say, oh, the pshat is like this, and spit out a pshat, which the Rebbe knew to begin with. The Rebbe wanted us to think of it. The Rebbe wanted us to be transformed into be'eros. He could give us waters from above, oceans and lakes and rivers, and the waters would have been very good. But the Rebbe delighted, and if he would smile a little bit, what that meant. It meant that it was a chiddush. It was something new. And it was a memorable moment when that happened, when there was a chiddush from below to above. And the way that the chiddush was drawn out, the way that it was brought from ayin to yesh, was that it was able to penetrate all the obstacles that the Rebbe placed in the path of that word of knowledge, of thought, of chiddush that was rising from the mysterious, murky depths of nothingness and climbing into the world of somethingness. And the Rebbe placed the obstacle of a kasha, a question, a challenge in the way. And when the bacha was, if the bacha was frightened, and he would back off, boy, then the Rebbe would get angry. Then he would start to scream. What's the matter with you, you stupid, you shaita? Say what you're saying, continue. Because you were frightened. The Rebbe asked Akashi, he's smarter than you. He's smarter than all the brains there squared. So you were afraid. You heard Akashi? But the Rebbe was saying, burst through my kasha. Not only burst through, grow because of my kasha, because my kasha is pulling you up. My kasha is forcing you. It's forcing you to rise through confusion. In other words, until now you had a certain idea. You had ideas, but the ideas were recovered, were confused. But the chiddush becomes a chiddush. It becomes something new because of the kasha. Because of the dirt. Because of that which is thrown in its way. And it doesn't stop. And it says, Afal Pichain. And the dirt causes it to struggle more to rise. Then it becomes a chiddush. Yesh mei. It's like a baby being born. It's mamish and mazel tov. And there's a real chiddush. If a person learns a little bit from Rabbi Kiva Eger, to have the schus to read a little bit from Rabbi Chaim, from Rabbi Shimon Shkop, on every page there are babies being born. another example. To understand the chiddush of life. Another example. There's an expression from the Chachamim. Ein chochem kebal nisoyin. What does that mean? Ein chochem kebal nisoyin. The kebal nisoyin. The meaning of it is that there is no one who is as wise as the person who has that experience with something. In other words, you could sit in school. You could sit in school and you could study agriculture, agronomy, and you could read all about how things grow, and you've gotten A's on all your exams, and you wrote a term paper about how things grow in Wisconsin, and you're a big maven in how things grow. So now that you have your degree and you're a big maven, it's time for you to go out to the field. And on the field you meet the peasant who can't read or write. And the peasant watches you as you begin to work to bring forth some new things from the earth. And the peasant looks at you like you're an absolute idiot. And you have hanging from your neck your degrees. And you walked over there to the field looking down on the peasant as an uncouth, uneducated boor. And you're the wise, intelligent graduate school scholar who is coming to make the world grow beautiful things. And the Chacham said, "Ein chochem kebal hanisayon," that the peasant who grew up in the world, who grew up on the earth, the peasant who knows what it feels like and knows what it smells like, that peasant, he understands. Ein chochem kebal hanisayon is a deep thing. Ein chochem kebal hanisayon means, for those of you out there and myself who have had countless arguments with parents and other loved ones, telling them what life is really all about when we were 14 years old, and what it really means to struggle in the world, and to explain to our parents all the mistakes that they've made, and to show them the right path. And the parents listened to all of this. And the Chacham said, "Ein chochem kebal hanisayon," that the wisest people in the world are the ones who have experienced. And you know why? It's exactly what we're talking about until now. Because experience means obstructions. Experience means obstacles. The fellow who studied agriculture in school, the only obstacle was that it prevented him sometimes from watching his favorite show because he had to prepare for an exam. But that's it. But the farmer, the peasant, he understood what it means when it didn't rain for 2 weeks, and what kind of earth, what kind of soil, by seeing, by touching. After all is said and done, and all the accomplishments of scientists, I would still place a bet on an old-fashioned American Indian when it comes to understanding what's happening on the earth. I don't mean in nuclear physics, but I mean Pashut, to listen to the ground, to understand it. Because ein chochem kebal hanisayon. Because the chochem of the bal hanisayon is a bar mayim chayim. They're waters that were purified, that were refined, because they passed through the difficulties of real life. Because they had to rise up against the momentum that was a current that was fighting the kashas of day-to-day life, the questions and the challenges of day-to-day life. And if a person was able to achieve chokhmah, he had to fight for tooth and nail. And therefore the chokhmah has been refined because of the kashas, because of the nisyonis, the challenges and the obstacles. And therefore his wisdom is a be'er mayim chayim, it's a wellspring of living waters, a mayim hamizgaber, of ever-growing, stronger waters rising from the depths. So now we talk about the neshama, the soul, and now we begin to move towards an understanding of Hashem's praise for us, of Hashem's speaking of us in such terms as Amayan Ganim Be'Amayim Chayim. The neshama, the soul, in the higher world, the neshama, as it is from above, the neshama is a beautiful thing. The neshama is perfect. The neshama shnasati b'tahari, the neshama that you gave me is pure. The neshama itself is like the ocean. The neshama is the mayim el yoinim, is like the ocean, the rivers, the lakes. They're very beautiful. The neshama, the ocean is something that you could see is beautiful, that you understand is beautiful. It's clear to you. But Hashem in His wisdom took the neshama, took the exalted neshama of a Jew, and the Baruch Shalom, the master of the world, took that neshama and he sent it down mamish into the depths, into the tahaim, into that world of tahom, which is the letters hamavis, of death, of darkness, of confusion, of free choice. A world where there's such a mixture of tov v'rav, dross, of dirt, of filth, mixed in with that which is good and right. And the Baruch Shalom said, the reason I did this, I know it hurts you. I know that it's painful. But the reason that I did this is because I want you to become a Be'er Mayim Chayim. I want you to become, because of these questions, because of these challenges, because of this dirt, because of this misery, I want you to become an ever-growing, stronger, an ever-rising, an ever-powerful and living Be'er, wellspring of living waters. Chazal tell us that the lower waters are screaming ever since creation, when Hashem divided the higher waters from the lower waters, that the lower waters are screaming, Onan bi'ina lehave kamamalka, that we want once again to be in the presence of the King. We want to be in the presence of the King. So it's because of those things that are standing in the way of us returning to the King. It's because of the dirt that surrounds us and our insistence to overcome it. It's because of all of that that we have such an insistence. It's because of those questions. It's because of those obstructions that the neshama is seeking to rise and to gain energy and force that it would not have had if it was a neshama that was dropped into the world from the Ayonim as an ocean or as a lake. But a neshama that is a Be'er Mayim Chayim that comes from the place of the Tahayim, that's a Yesh Me'ayin. That's Be'er Mayim Chayim, living waters. And Hashem makes the waters come to life by asking you the questions of this world, by placing in your path the difficulties of this world. And that's the deeper meaning of what Chazal say. B'mokim shabal l'tshuva oimdim tzaddikim gemurim en yicholim la'amod. That in a place where the tzaddikim stand, in a place where the Baalei Tshuva stand, where those Jews are returned to Hashem, in the place where they stand, even the greatest tzaddikim cannot be in such a place. Even the greatest tzaddikim, and even though this is the subject of a debate in the Gemara, then Brachas, nevertheless, the understanding that is clear by the vast majority of Rishonim is that the Baalei Tshuva have a certain point of greatness that the tzaddik can't experience, or hasn't experienced. And we understand, based upon what we're learning now, that the Baal Tshuva is a Yesh Me'ayin. And I'm not talking about the way we use the word Baal Tshuva nowadays, although that's true also. But a Baal Tshuva, but nowadays a Baal Tshuva means someone that wasn't religious, and then he became or she became religious. So half of the thing, it's a wondrous thing. But the Baal Tshuva, as it was meant in the Gemara, Poshup Pshat, the Baal Tshuva is that a person who was brought into the world and was raised a certain way and fell into the shmutz or threw himself into the dirt, and is able somehow to crawl out of it. But when he comes out, he's more refined, more purified, more uplifted, more exalted, more inspired than before. He's a Be'er Mayim Chayim. That's the nekud of the Baal Tshuva. The chiddush of the Baal Tshuva that makes the tzaddikim gemurim a little bit nervous. When the Baal Tshuva davens, and he davens with that chiyus of the Be'er Mayim Chayim, and those Jews who have become like lakes and oceans calm, or ever steadily flowing rivers in their service of God, when they see the explosion of the Be'er Mayim Chaim of the Baal Tshuva, like in Yosemite Park, shooting hundreds of yards into the sky, from that koach that comes as a result of experiencing all that which stood opposed to holiness. It's because you were suffocated, it's because you couldn't bear it, and you didn't give up, that you continued to push against the current, and you were able to penetrate the ugliness of physical life, of sinfulness, and to explode in a new form of a Yesh Mayim, which is a Chiddush, a Mayim Ganim, a Be'er Mayim Chaim. And these waters are the sweetest. These are the waters that the oceans and lakes look at with envy. So how does one discover these waters within oneself? I'm sure that's what you're thinking. We would all like to experience that. So the pasuk goes on to say, in the parasha, the pasuk says, "Be'er chafaru asarim." The wells were dug by the princes. Karu nedivayon. The nobles of the nation excavated them. So here I want to read to you the actual words from the Mittler Rebbe, because this is something that's mamash hard to put into, it's hard to put into our own words. So I'm going to read to you the words and try to translate. What the Torah is telling us is that in order to discover the wells, you have to be prepared to dig, to excavate. Many of us are afraid of that. Excavations have the tendency to bring up a lot of dirt that you didn't even see that was there to begin with. When you look at the surface is dirty. When you dig, oy vey. And who knows how far down you have to dig till you find living waters. And most people are afraid it's enough schmutz that's on the surface. It's bad enough I had a lousy day. But why do I have to dig up old dirt? So listen to the words of the Mittler Rebbe. This is how a Jew excavates. Hu bechinas leiv nishbar v'nidke l'chalokim k'tanim, to shatter one's heart into small pieces. You could do it or it happens. Ad sheyachnia libo, to the heart has been humbled. V'yeh ka'ofer rach l'hasiro, and that heart that until now was so hard, like it was like a rock, it was such a rocky terrain, that by breaking it and crushing it into many, many pieces, the Mittler Rebbe says it becomes softened. V'yeh ka'ofer rach l'hasiro bekal, and when it becomes soft soil, earth, it can be easily removed. This is when a person honestly confronts, honestly evaluates the dirt that's accumulated, and a person screams out in bitterness, Miriris, the Rebbe says, Min Hametzah, from the depths, from the narrow straits of the ugliness and coarseness of his life. This is like plowing that softens the soil, that softens the earth. You have to plow. That when a person digs deeply more and more into the coarse physical quality or reality of the heart, which is meant by how the tzaddikim in earlier times, they would prepare for davening. that they would spend that hour, they would spend that time before davening, b'kayved rosh, focusing, thinking about all that was opposed in their lives to holiness. V'achmos ha'leiv shelifnei ha'tvila, v'yachshav heitev b'chatoyim v'avoynis v'tayev v'zorvis v'roz, and for a person to admit to oneself one's mistakes, one's shortcomings, the thoughts, the feelings, and desires that don't befit the child of the King of all worlds. Ad she'aliboy k'maycholol reika, until the heart becomes mamish clean and emptied out like a vacuum. She'zok ofreti chorech, like soil that is very, very soft. When the heart of stone has been removed, it's been shattered. Then the Rebbe says, Oz yimtza b'chinas mayim chayim. Then you will find the living waters. And here is a teaching to add to this from his great descendant, the Rebbe the Rashab of Shalom Be'er. More than once in the past, I've mentioned to you the teaching that the word Be'er, well, that the word Be'er, Be'ez Aleph Reish, that those letters stand for B'yodcha Afkid Ruchi. In your hands, Hashem, I place my soul. I give you my soul. And the Holy Rebbe the Rashab asked, Absholom Be'er asked, why is it that we say that before we go to bed? B'yodcha Afkid Ruchi, so Pashup Shat means I give you my soul, Hashem, to take care of. I entrust you with my soul. But listen to this. The Rashab explains that when a person goes to bed at night, he says Kriya Shema Lamita, to say Kriya Shema. So the Rashab says that if a Jew would stop for a moment as you're about to take that nightly journey away from this world, if you would stop for a moment and consider that the Pikodin, my neshama, my soul, that Hashem entrusted me with, that this morning I said that Elkai neshama shenasati b'toharihi, this morning I said that my soul is pure because I received this morning a new cleansed soul. So the Rashab says that when a person goes to sleep at night, if once in a while, for a moment, you would think, Rabbi Shalom, the soul that you gave me this morning, fresh and new, that look, by the time the day has ended, that this neshama is melea, is filled with pgamim and chaburis, with injuries, with wounds. Look what I've done to the neshama that you gave to me. So the Rashab says that when you think about that, when you think of how unfaithful you were to Hashem's trust in you with the neshama, with a pikudin, with the most precious pikudin that could be. So he says, then your heart breaks. We can't imagine about ourselves. About our children, we think of that all the time. Hashem, you gave me this beautiful child. Well, look how I'm messing up this kid. Look what I'm doing to this child. But if you stop and think about yourself, Rabbi Shalom, you gave me such a precious child. Me, look what I'm doing to myself. So the Rashab says, then the heart, mamish, breaks into 1,000 pieces. And the moment that the heart breaks, you can be changed into a Be'er. From the B'yodcha Afkid Ruchi, from that thought, that memory, that Hashem, I'm giving you back my neshama that you trusted me with, but I'm giving it back to you broken and injured and ugly. From that thought, the Rashab says you could either become defiled and lowered and lose hope in all that is holy, or he says you can be changed, like when the Rebbe asks a good kasha, instead of backing away, he says if you give a scream, b'merirus, with a tzalk or with an out, and you cry out to Hashem, so the Rebbe says that davke from b'yodcha afkid ruchi beiz alev reish, you become a be'er mayim chayim, a wellspring of living waters, a mayim and mezgaber that grows stronger and stronger and is able to rise through all the injuries, through all the mistakes, through all the ugliness, and to become mamish b'al tshuva. So here we come to understand now, let's finish, the song of the ocean and the song of the well. The song of the ocean was the song of the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim's Gevaldik. Hashem took us out. Hashem took care of us. Hashem took us through and He showed us amazing things. So Chazal say that's when we were children. That's when we had the kingdom of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was showing us, was telling us how to sing, what to say. Like little children who were taught by the Rebbe, that's when we had the man that fell from heaven. That's when we had the clouds that surrounded and took care of us. That's when we had Moshe Rabbeinu with us, with that clarity and that beauty. But ein chacham gebal nisayin. But the chachamim say that the song of the well is after 40 years. 40 years in the desert, 40 years, they're not children anymore. They're not a young, impressionable bride being taken by the chassan to Har Sinai. Now the Jewish people have been to some degree, for years and years, they didn't hear from Hashem. To some degree, they've experienced. And this is how Hashem is getting us ready to come to Eretz Yisrael, to the Malchus of Dovid HaMelech. Hashem is preparing us to enter into the land by telling us, children, you're adults, it's time to make your own song. It's time to rise up to be a Be'er Mayim Chayim. It's time to lift yourself up to the Shmutz. Because the song that you had sung to me years ago was with Moshe Rabbeinu showing you and telling you and singing before you. And I loved it, it was beautiful, but it was still a child's song. I want to see you sing when you're an adult. Without Moshe Rabbeinu telling you what to say. With the Yeridus, with the Nefilus, with the darkness, with the Shmutz, with the Bechira. With the difficulties that have been thrown in your way because of a family that doesn't serve Hashem. Or being in a place that stands opposed to holiness as our generation. That our generation, the last of time that is buried deepest, has the ability, mamish, to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. Because our generation has the quality, has the koyach to be changed into a Be'er Mayim Chayim. Because never has the Jewish soul, never has the collective soul of Klai Yisrael been covered by so much dirt as it is nowadays. But if you rise, but if you struggle with that, if you push through, if it causes you to scream out and say, what's become of me? Look at me. Look at what I look at. Look at what I talk about. Look at the way that I dress. Look at the things that I'm interested in. That I'm in the world already 40 years. I know nothing. I don't know a word of Torah. All of these things, if a person sits and thinks, and you call out to Hashem, then the Baruch Shem, the master of the world, will ask you more kashas, another kasha. But if you continue, you become a Be'er Mayim Chayim. And you begin to sing your own song. Oz Yoshi Yisrael. Ali Be'er Enula. The song of Miriam's well. The song of the May Marm of bitter waters that were sweetened. The song of waters that were held beneath in that place of Marirus of Miriam and became and entered into the world of Roimimus, of his Roimimus of exaltedness, from the Mayim, from the bear of Miriam of bitterness. Because of the bitterness to reach a level of his Roimimus. Of a Yoram Karen Lama. Of bitter waters that become sweet. Those are the waters of the Torah Shabbat, the oral Torah. The Torah Shabbat Sab is an ocean, it's a lake. Waters from above. I have the oral Torah, the Torah Shabbal Peh. The Torah Shabbal Peh is with all the challenges, the darkness of Bavel. Bavel means confusion. B'machashaki, my Shivani means darkness. And to rise from there, to rise from that place, from that darkness. That's the Be'er Mayim Chayim. That's the Be'er Mayim Chayim of Torah Shabbal Peh. So it's true that in our generation, many of us are experiencing hearts that are like stone. We feel that our hearts are mamish from stone. And we read all the stories about our babis, our zaydis, that they were crying and they said tehillim and how they were moisa nefesh for mitzvahs and how they gave up so much to be Jews. And here we live in a country where you could be what you want. And it's hard to get up to daven. It's hard to keep one's eyes focused in the right place, to be a Jew. Now this is the song of our generation that we could sing. if we're honest. Instead of making new ideas, new halachas, new shittas in Yiddishkeit to accommodate our complacency. That's what many people do. You make a new shita, you give it a new name. And you say, I'm very happy about being Jewish, but I have a new way of being Jewish. Not like the Chassam Sofer. I have a different way. Not like the Vilna Gaon, not like the Baal Shem. I have a different way that they never thought of. They never thought of this. I thought of this. No. You measure yourself with the master of the world. And with the Torah, with the Shulchan Aruch. And if your heart breaks into 1,000 pieces, that means that you can start to sing the song of the well also. And that's the Mayim Chaim, the living waters of the red cow, the Paraduma, that the Paraduma was made Davke. The ashes were mixed with the Mayim Chaim, that from the death of ashes of dirt to mix with the Mayim Chaim, and that brings all purification, all that is beautiful, all that is refined and real in life, Davka comes by taking the ashes and mixing them with the Mayim Chaim, with the living waters. That from the ashes to become a Be'er Mayim Chaim. That's the purification of the Paraduma. That the Odom Kiyomas Ba'ohel, that a person comes to contact with death, every one of us comes to contact with death each and every day. Lo Aleinu, we should never ever see death. But every one of us comes into contact with death when we daven without heart, without life. When our davening is dead, when our learning is dead. Every one of us is a negeya b'meis l'nefesh odom. Every one of us comes into contact each day with uninspired Yiddishkeit. When it comes to Tammuz and Av, when it comes to these months that now are trapped in so much dirt, these months that now contain in them so much suffering and so much darkness that are going to be changed. They're going to be changed into the greatest and holiest months of the year. When the entire Jewish people have tasted so much death during these 2 months, that these 2 months davke contain within them the mystery of a Be'er Mayim Chai, of the living waters, of the restorative waters of Chiyus, of the Jewish people coming back to life, and the third Beis HaMikdash coming down, the third Beis HaMikdash being brought into our lives, which will be forever and ever and ever. Not like the oceans and lakes of the first two Batei Mikdash, but the Beis HaMikdash that we struggled for, the Beis HaMikdash that descends from above but really comes from below. I'll just tell you a little story. It's late. It's not a story. It's something that a great tzaddik told. The Rebbe of the Melamed was known as the Rashpatz. The Melamed of the Friedeker Rebbe, of the Rebbe Rayatz from Lubavitch, told him this. He told him this story. He says that once upon a time, there's a very simple story. It's very predictable. He said that once upon a time, there was a king. And this king had a certain bird. And this bird was the most splendorous, the most beautiful, the most majestic, majestic bird in the world. And the king adored it. The king loved this bird. And he used to spend time looking at it and playing and singing and so on. Now it happened one day that the leg of the bird broke and he began to limp. And that took something of his beauty away. But the king still loved this bird more than all the other birds in the kingdom. And then something else happened, the second leg broke, and then the one eye began to close, and the colors of the feathers began to be dulled, began to fade. But the king still loved this bird. And then finally the tragedy took place, and the bird died. And the king was inconsolable, the king Mamish couldn't be consoled. So some of the wise men, some of the Chachamim, decided, when they saw that the king couldn't be consoled, they decided to make a present. Now, you couldn't duplicate that bird. There was no bird like that in the kingdom. So what the wise men did is they hired the most talented artisan in the land, and they had him make a perfect gold replica, a perfect gold image of that bird that had died. And they were all excited when they came to the king and they presented this exquisite golden bird to the king. When the king saw it, he couldn't be consoled. He continued crying. It made him cry even harder. So the wise men couldn't understand. They asked the king, "Your Majesty, isn't this bird infinitely more beautiful than the one that died? The legs of the first one were broken. There were feathers that were missing. And this bird has perfect legs, feathers, everything is there, and it's beautiful." So this is what the king said. The king said, "I will never, ever love this bird. I will never love this bird. Because for all of its beauty, it's not alive. For all of its beauty, it's not alive. And the bird that I loved was alive." And after he told this story to the Rayatz, to Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok, the Tzaddik concluded by saying that there are people who officially do everything that's right, and the service of God follows the rules, but it's without life. It's lifeless. It's a golden image. But the master of the world loves his bird, even if the bird has broken legs, feathers missing, as long as it's alive. As long as it's real. That doesn't mean he was saying that you don't have to keep all the halachas as long as you labor dick. That didn't mean that. He wasn't suggesting, God forbid, such a thing. What he was saying was, is that what you can do, what you're doing, try to make it, there should be a bare mayim chayim. Try to infuse it with life. Because in Hashem's eyes, there's no way to replace that beauty that he sees when a Jew is trying to be alive, trying to be a bare mayim chayim. And even though the other one is beautiful and it seems to be perfect, but if it's not alive, then Hashem is inconsolable. So let's try to console Hashem during these difficult months. Let's try to console him when he sees that after all, the Jewish people are still alive, and the Jewish people are still trying to climb out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should change these days of sadness, of difficulties, into days of great, great rejoicing. We should be zeichem et Hashem to see with our eyes the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu, to be zeichem to see the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, to see Tchias HaMesim, to see the revival of all that has been dead. B'mehev Yameinu Amen V'Amen. I just want to remind you that next week the Shia is going to be Mitzvah Shem.